Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las...
Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Por Favor Manténgase Alejado de las Podcast. My name's Gary and I'm here with my co-host Mike. We're here to talk about all things Disney. This is episode zero. We're recording this on February 13th, 2014. And the reason we're calling it episode zero is it's basically just going to be an introduction of myself and Mike to you, the listeners, new listeners, and... obviously, if you're listening from the beginning, this is our first episode, and if you're tuning in further down the line and trying to get an idea of what we're all about, this is going to serve as your introduction to us. So, Mike, say hi to the people.
Well, hello, people. How are you doing?
Hey, Gary, I was going to ask you, when do you think the over-under is when we get our first listener?
Hopefully, it will be not too long after this goes up, because you never know. Some people might troll iTunes for new podcasts and give them a listen, so hopefully we'll get some people. Do we count, though, is the question, when we listen to it?
I probably won't, and I don't think my wife will, so...
No, you're not going to listen?
No, probably not.
Might be too painful. I'll listen. I'm weird like that. I like to see what I've done and agonize over what I can improve on.
And I've asked a number of friends for some sympathy listens, and I've gotten no as responses for that, too, so...
Okay, so we're basically just throwing ourselves out there, and hopefully people will give us some listen. Give us a chance. I think we'll be fun to listen to, and we'll talk about some interesting things. I mean, there's a lot of Disney podcasts out there, and I think that people like us who listen to a lot of them are always looking for more, and... you'll listen to some and you'll like it and keep going, or you'll listen to one and it might not be what you're looking for and you'll move on. So hopefully people will at least give us a chance.
I think with some of the podcasts out there, you know, you have the 100% pro Disney can do no wrong. And then right. You have on the opposite side of the spectrum, the Disney's evil, all they care about is profits and they hate their customers.
Yeah, I think we're just going to give it our... opinion, and we're not going to sugarcoat things when they're bad, and we're not going to be afraid to gush about them when there's something we love. And that's basically, we just want to be the more realistic version. We don't work for Disney, but as a whole, I mean, both of us love Disney, so it's not like we're going to be talking bad about them all the time. But if something happens that we don't like, we won't be afraid to talk about it.
I'll tell you, if I don't get bang for the buck on my meal at Narcoozie's, our listeners will certainly be hearing about that.
Yeah,
did you see the prices on that menu?
Yeah, it's not cheap. That's why it's a signature restaurant at the Walt Disney World Resort. They don't mess around at those fancy restaurants there. They get you, they hit you in the wallet. I guess it keeps the reservations down a little bit.
Now you've eaten there.
I have. I ate there on my honeymoon with my wife Sarah. We went to Narcoozie and I enjoyed it. I was on the dining plan, so it was already, you know, quote-unquote paid for, and I thought it was great, but paying out of pocket, maybe it wouldn't be considered as great once you get the full check brought to your table at the end of the meal, so that'll be interesting to see your perspective of it coming from that end as compared to mine, where it was already on the meal plan, so that's something we'll have to talk about down the road. As you mentioned that, we do have a trip coming up in just a few days. We're leaving on Sunday, February 16th. We'll be down at Walt Disney World for 5 nights, and it's going to be exciting. We're looking forward to it, and obviously we will have a lot of episodes coming out of that trip, and then we'll also talk about other things besides just Walt Disney World. We'll talk about Disneyland. We've both been. We'll talk about Disney movies and news about the company and things of that nature. So just overall themed about Disney, but we'll take it where we feel like talking about that week.
And I don't foresee any issues getting out of here. I'm out in Minneapolis and I looked at Sunday's forecast. It's supposed to be actually pretty warm with not much precipitation. I'm going to have to edit that. What's it looking like out there on Sunday for you?
Looks about the same. We just got hit with that big nor'easter today. We got about 7 inches of snow, and now it's been raining the rest of the day. But it looks like after tomorrow morning, it's going to be clear for the rest of the weekend. So that'll be good. We don't have to worry about getting down to Orlando, and the forecast down there looks great, too, once we get down into Florida, which, obviously, we're both looking forward to. I'm in Rhode Island in the Northeast, so looking to get out of the cold, both of us, and get down to some sunny, warm weather in the middle of February. Can't really beat that.
Looks like high 70s, low 80s the entire week, too.
That'll be nice. That's perfect.
I think today's the last cold front that came through. I think it was like in the 50s or low 60s, and that's pushing on out tonight. So we should be in good shape.
Nice. So that'll be good. Be good to get down there in that nice weather. Just as an introduction to any listeners, why don't you, and I'll do the same after you answer, but talk about how many times you've been down to Walt Disney World, the last time you've been, favorite park, favorite attraction, things like that. Just give people an idea of where you're coming from as far as Walt Disney World is concerned.
My first visit was 1977. My parents had moved down to South Florida, Hollywood, Fort Lauderdale area, and we spent Thanksgiving up in the kingdom. And I've probably been about 9 or 10 times other than outside of that. Most recent trip came in 2011, where we stayed at Wilderness Lodge, which was absolutely amazing. I call it a lesser deluxe because it's on the deluxe level, and it's considered a lesser deluxe, if that makes any sense. My favorite park is Epcot Center, or as they call it now, Epcot. Liked it a lot better in the 80s and 90s when it was more of an educational park. Now it's more of a theme park, fast ride park, but you can't go wrong when you go through the countries. That's by far my favorite park. Favorite attraction, believe it or not, is the Carousel of Progress.
Now, you can't really go wrong with the Carousel of Progress, a classic from the 1964 World's Fair. As I'm sure anyone tuning into this, probably a big Disney buff like we are, and they'll know that was debuted at the World's Fair in New York City, and it was brought down actually to Disneyland first, and now it's at Walt Disney World. And that is a great ride in the Magic Kingdom, of course. And Epcot, as you mentioned, has gone over a change. Some people, like yourself, have liked the old version, so you called it Epcot Center, and that's probably when you liked it, when it was still called Epcot Center, before they changed it back to just Epcot.
Just like MGM Studios, I liked before they became Hollywood Studios.
Right, that was more of a business decision because the MGM wing got sold off or something like that, and so they had to make the name change, whereas Epcot was just more of a stylistic type thing.
Homework for this podcast. What do you have, notes and stickets all over your computer desk? What the hell's going on?
Yeah, my workstation's got, I look like the beautiful mind. I got notes written on the wall and pencil. I look like a crazy person over here.
Oh, that's fantastic. Nice work.
Yeah. My first visit actually was in the late 90s. I think it was 1998. I went down for the first time. I was still in high school. And I didn't really appreciate it as much as I've come to at this point. It was kind of a whirlwind. That was internet being readily available and fast, so I wasn't able to do a lot of research on it, so I just kind of went in blind and had a good time. But the more I've researched and the more I've gone since then, I've gone 4 or 5 times since then, I've been able to appreciate the parks in a different way based on things that I've read and stories that I've heard about different attractions and different areas and what went into them. So since then, I've done a lot of just independent research, reading up on things, and come to really love the theme parks in general. The last time I was at Walt Disney World was in November of 2011, and I stayed at Pop Century, which is actually where we'll be staying next week for our research trip coming up.
2011 was your last trip?
Yes, I went to...
So you've been there more, because it seems like your family's there, every couple weeks. They're down there more than Lou Mangiello, believe it or not.
Yeah, they're down there a lot. My mom and my sisters, they'll go once a year. I haven't been able to go since 2011, but I did go to Disneyland last January in 2013. So I actually got a Disney fix, but I was on the West Coast for that one, which, by the way, I love Disneyland. It was awesome. very different than Disney World, but still a really great experience. But I would say my favorite park is also Epcot. Magic Kingdom a close second, just because that was the original, and those dark rides there at Magic Kingdom that still rival anything that they've made, you know, Haunted Mansion and Pirates of the Caribbean, things like that are just fantastic attractions, and those are classics, and they'll be there forever, hopefully, and that really brings a lot of fun to that park. And I would say my favorite overall attraction is Splash Mountain. I just think it's the perfect theme park ride between the animatronics, the theming, and the thrill of it, and the story, everything. It's just so much fun, and you couldn't pry the smile off my face for the 15 minutes while I'm in that attraction.
Have you ever ever purchased a picture at the end of the ride?
No, I do the cheapskate picture where I take the picture on my cell phone of the picture on the little cathode ray TVs inside the end of the ride.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I get the little ones with the watermark across it, but you get the idea.
Well, 20 years ago, I bought one of those. They were $15, so I can only imagine, you know, you got to take out a second mortgage for one of those now.
Yeah, they're not cheap, especially if you get one of the little frames that they sell, things like that. But actually, now with the new My Magic Plus and the Magic Bands, apparently you can swipe your Magic Band at the end of a ride and get your ride picture put onto your photo pass, so then you can view them online when you get home and decide if you want to purchase them at that point, so it doesn't have to be spur of the moment anymore, which is, I think that's a pretty cool feature that they're doing.
Now, real quickly, we can cover photo pass in depth in a later podcast, but how does that work? Is that pretty much free for you, and if you decide to move forward and purchase, you can do that at a later date, or do you have to pay something up front?
No, it's all included. They'll take the pictures and they'll all go on your account, and then you sign in when you get home. Actually, you can do it
like 45 days or something, or 30 days,
yeah.
30,
yep.
40, right?
Yeah, I think it's 45. You have 45 days from when you get back from your vacation.
And I don't even have that on a stick-it note, so that's
all. Yeah, there you go. And you can look at them, you can edit them, as in you can add like special borders and things, and then you can order prints, or you can order the whole digital download, so you own the rights to all your pictures. And they'll sell that ahead of time also, and it's about $150, but you get everything, every picture,
right,
they take. And you know, you can take as many as you can track down PhotoPass photographers basically while you're there. So, I mean, it depends on the size of the party you're going that it might be worth it to look into buying it, pre-purchasing your photo pass, but it's also a risk because if you go and you don't take a lot of pictures and you're spending $150 on 20 pictures, it's not really worth it.
That's right.
So,
to the point.
Hey, anything else you want to add, Mike? I'm just trying to make this a little shorter episode of an introduction of the two of us.
Off the top of your head, do you remember which days we're going where?
We're arriving on Sunday, and we're going to be going to Hollywood Studios, and
we're both getting in at the same time, which I think is crazy. You're leaving from Providence, we're leaving from Minneapolis, and
yeah,
we arrive at 11:20 in the morning.
Yeah, at MCL.
And we leave at the same time. You leave at 8 o'clock, and you leave at 7, or I leave at 7, you leave at 8. Which,
right,
is the same time because of the time difference. So it's exactly 3 hours and 20 minutes.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So we're actually...
It is kind of odd.
Same.
So anyways, we're going to Hollywood Studios on Sunday.
Hollywood Studios and Epcot on Monday. Tuesday will be Magic Kingdom. Wednesday, Animal Kingdom. Thursday, back to Magic Kingdom. And then Friday, we'll have a short day back at Hollywood Studios. So Sunday and Friday will be short Hollywood Studio days, so combine them together, it's one day there. So basically one full day at each park and then 2 days at Magic Kingdom, which definitely deserves a two-day treatment. It's the most, you know, it has the most attractions, it has the most to do, and it's, you know, it's the original, it's the most magical, as the name suggests.
Now, do you know when the parade schedule, does that just come out daily? Is that why you have to buy your... get your little programs on Main Street every day as you enter, or do you when the fireworks, when Fantasmic, and when the parades are, is that on there?
That's all on the website. Yeah, it's on the Disney website. They have all the schedules out. Obviously, they're subject to change, but they do have all that stuff released ahead of time. And actually, the parade at Magic Kingdom is currently being changed over to a new theming, and it is going to be down while we're there. They took the old one out, and they're putting a new one in. And that will be debuting sometime in March, the new parade. So right now there's no 3 o'clock parade at Magic Kingdom. But the new one will be starting up in a few weeks, but we're going to miss that. But that's okay.
As we are Splash Mountain, your favorite attraction.
Yeah, that's the only problem with going this time of year. Splash Mountain undergoes an annual refurbishment in January and February. So
they do that annually?
Yeah, just about. In the last few years, at least, that I've checked on it, they take it down just to...
What's that about?
They just spruce it up. I guess they figure the riding is lower because of the colder temperatures on the water ride, and they just take that opportunity with lower crowds. They take it down so they can keep it running smoother for the rest of the year.
Huh.
Which is fine. I understand that.
They prefer that every year.
Yeah, I think they just, you know, give some new paint. They make sure all the animatronics are working good, as with that amount of audio animatronics in that ride, you know, they're breaking down, as those kind of machines are want to do, and they have to go in and fix them, and this is like their scheduled time to go in and really keep that attraction up to date and running smooth. So hopefully I'll sacrifice it for this trip so people in the rest of the year can have fun on it.
But there's not much that isn't going on while we're there. The monorail is going to be a pain in the butt not being able to get around on the monorail, but they have other mode transportation.
There's a lot. There's not too much as far as attractions are down. I know the People Mover, or the TTA, in Tomorrowland is down.
The Wedway People Mover. That's probably my second favorite attraction.
Yeah, that's down. The Wedway People Mover is down when we're there. In Hollywood Studios, the Backlot Tour is down, which there's rumors of that being replaced at some point with something else, and maybe those are just pipe dreams of fanboys that want something new in that park.
See, I love that, and I also love the walking tour that they had prior to them putting in that, what's the one that replaced it over in the backstage?
Oh, the lights motor action.
Yeah. You could walk around and see the Golden Girl's house. And
Right. Well, that's when it was
still...
I thought
that made the attraction, but...
It was still an operating studio at that point, where now it is not. It's just a theme park. That was part of the reason they changed the name of it, because when it was MGM, it was actually acting as an operating studio. There were some TV shows and movies filmed there on occasion, and the animation studios were housed there. And they moved that all back out to Burbank after their deal with MGM ran out, and then they just made it 100% theme park with a Hollywood theme. So that's where the name change came in.
Okay.
But anyway, so hopefully if you're listening and you like what you hear, you'll subscribe to our podcast and get our updates. When we get back from our trip, we're going to have a lot of material to work with. We're going to review the places we eat, different things. I mean, we'll have a lot of stuff we'll be talking about on our return, and we'll try to space those out so it's not just constantly a trip report, but we'll have those. We'll have keep you
abreast. Once we have our first subscriber, we'll probably have a call-in show and have that person call in.
Yeah. Yeah, well, what if I'm the first subscriber? It'll make it easier. I can just call from the kitchen.
Yeah, I'll just be the host that day. Say that you were on vacation, then we can just have Gary from Westerly call into the show. That'd be perfect.
Yeah, exactly. And besides that, I mean, we're going to listen to the fans when we get them, and we'll, you know, take advice, take suggestions of the kind of shows you want to hear. You can follow us on Twitter, and our Twitter handle is Por Favor Podcast, PORFAVOR Podcast. That's at Twitter. Our website is porfavorpodcast.podbean.com, so you can follow us there and check out our little bios that we have in that site. We'll be changing as we grow, so check us out over there, check us out on Twitter, and subscribe to the podcast, and we'll hear from you soon. Thanks for listening to episode 0 of the Por Favor podcast. I'm Gary, and that was Mike. Thanks a lot.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las
podcasts. Previously on the Por Favor podcast.
And I don't foresee any issues getting out of here. I'm out in Minneapolis, and I looked at Sunday's forecast. It's supposed to be actually pretty warm with not much precipitation. You're going to have to edit that. What's it look like out there on Sunday for you?
Looks about the same. We just got hit with that big nor'easter today. We got about 7 inches of snow, and now it's been raining the rest of the day. But it looks like after tomorrow morning, it's going to be clear for the rest of the weekend. So that'll be good. We don't have to worry about getting down to Orlando, and the forecast down there looks great, too, once we get down into Florida, which, obviously, we're both looking forward to. I'm in Rhode Island in the Northeast, so looking to get out of the cold, both of us, and get down to some sunny, warm weather in the middle of February. Can't really beat that. And we are now live on the Por Favor podcast. This is episode 001. I'm Gary, along with Mike on the other end from the D. Fauntleroy Studios. How's it going today, Mike?
Good, how are you?
Doing great. As you just heard, we were having some bold predictions of our traveling down to Walt Disney World last month, and we did have some issues, or at least one of us did, so let's get
six total had issues.
Yeah, one of the two of us, but yeah, six people. The flight out of Providence got canceled the day before we were heading down, so our Sunday flight was canceled Saturday afternoon because of a snowstorm that brought in about an inch of snow into Rhode Island. But
yeah, did that all go down? I was running last-minute errands getting dog food for my pet sitter and stuff, and then I got a text from you and your sister saying that your flights were canceled, and it was like almost 24 hours before the flight was due to take off. Like, what the heck happened?
I guess the storm was coming in up the coast, and a lot of the flights in other airports were getting canceled or delayed, and it screwed up. There wasn't going to be a plane at TF Green Airport in Providence for us in the morning, so we had to hoof it. We had to drive down last minute and just got in the car and made the 22-hour drive straight. We didn't stop overnight. We just got in and drove, and it wasn't fun. That was the worst part of the trip by far.
So you took the family truckster down?
Yeah, I guess you could say that. We had two cars, the six of us there. My wife and I were in one car, and then my parents and my sisters were in another car, which that couldn't have been fun, the four of them in a car for that long, but they survived. We made it down to Florida, and it was beautiful down there. The weather was just gorgeous when we arrived. It was about 80 degrees the day we got there. Got a little cool that first night, but after that, it was beautiful shorts and t-shirt weather the rest of the week. And
it was perfect.
It was great.
Perfect weather, Bill.
And today we're going to talk a little bit about that trip. We'll kind of avoid talking about the travel woes, but it's just funny because in our first episode, we were talking about how there shouldn't be any problems traveling, and then, of course, the flight gets canceled.
It was
going to
be smooth sailing.
Smooth sailing, and there was some kind of sailing. It wasn't so smooth, but actually,
and
I beat you to the resort, even though I drove.
You did, but you did leave about 22 hours prior to me.
That's true. That doesn't matter.
Which
it's
is
all
insane,
about
because I texted you from the airport, and you said that you were like 3.5 hours out, and so you're like just getting under the Florida border, and I'm still in Minneapolis, and
right.
We pretty much touched down at the same time.
Yeah, that's true. You landed in Orlando around the same time I was getting on I-4, and then
yeah, you said you were about 22 minutes out or something.
Yeah, and you had to wait
for the Magical Express, which, do you want to talk about that a little bit? How'd that go on the Magical Express? Did you have any issues?
No, it was easy. Well, especially because the Melnicks got us our bag tags. We had some issues with Disney getting us our bag tags because we weren't the original ones to make the reservation. So the way the Disney system works is that they have to ship bag tags out to the people who make the reservation, and the people who make the reservation have to get the bag tags out to other people. So ours somehow got shipped to the Melnick residents in Provo, Utah. I don't know who they are. I don't know if you know who they are, but they were nice enough to find out where they needed to be sent to, so they sent them out to us. Nice, smooth flight out to Orlando. I am downloading that right now on YouTube, so that'll be available. The landing will be available shortly on YouTube.
Okay, we'll post Magical a link. Express,
you just take your carry-on, just bring your carry-on, check in. We were the first bus out.
Beautiful.
And we're at the Kingdom 20 minutes later. It's just easy going. It's the best way to get around down there.
Yeah, and you get to watch a nice little video also on the bus. It gets you in
the video stunk. Yeah, I didn't like it as much. I didn't like it. They redid it.
The new video is not as good. All right, so that's something we'll have to discuss.
Pretty much the same time as I was down there. Yeah, it wasn't like the informative one with like Donald Duck and the other characters where they tell you what to do and
right
and this and that. No, yeah, it wasn't good. Like I just lost attention and just stared out the window looking for alligators.
Did you see any?
No, unfortunately not.
No alligators to be found. That's too bad.
Not on the road.
Yeah, but also to go back to the luggage tag issue, it's funny you mentioned that because 2 days after we got back from the trip, I got luggage tags in the mail, the original ones.
After the trip.
Yeah, it was postmarked January 27th, and they got to my house on February 25th, so they were in the U.S. mail system for almost a month. And so it actually wasn't Disney's issue.
Right?
No, they were postmarked January 27th. That was the original day we requested they send them, and they did.
There's no missed delivery thing?
No, it didn't say anything. It just was in the mailbox, and not very convenient to be that late. And
that's funny because remember they told you that they had shipped it and we were like they're full of crap and
yeah I mean I kind of thought they were just yanking us around, but it turns out they definitely did ship it when they originally said, and then they also went above and beyond to get it out to us, and it was kind of weird the situation because we had to call them several different times, and the final time I called them was the week before the trip. It was like the Friday before. So it was 7 days. And I called and
we were leaving the following Sunday.
Yeah, and they said it was too late to send it out because it wouldn't get there in time. And I said, well, there's nothing you can do. We never got them. We need them for the Magical Express. And they said, there's nothing we could do. So a couple days later, I get a knock at the door, and it's UPS delivering a next-day air package, and I look at it, open it up, and it's the Magical Express. They sent it next day from UPS as opposed to normally in the mail, which was nice that they did that, and it was helpful, because then I was able to get them out to you in a couple days, and in time, barely, for the flight. But I don't know why they couldn't say that they were going to try. It was weird that they said they couldn't do it, and then they went and did it anyway. It was good that they did it, but it didn't make sense with why the runaround. I didn't get it.
So we have bag tags lost in the mail. We have bag tags being delivered to the Melnicks, and then we have bag tags being overnighted to your house.
Yeah,
that's a lot of bag tags.
Yeah, they must have thought they were probably expecting about 8 bags per person coming in on the Magical Express.
And you guys didn't even use any because you transported your own.
We didn't use them.
Truck stuff.
Yeah, we just hoofed them. Yeah, it was messed up. But it's funny, we drove down and I was saying to my wife Sarah that, oh, it'd be nice to have the car, but we never even touched the car from the time we checked in to the time we checked out. We didn't even go in the car once. So we didn't drive anywhere. We used the bus service on Disney property, which I've always been a big fan of, and for this trip, it was really I thought it was excellent. I didn't have to wait more than 5 minutes at a bus stop on any time to or from Pop Century, and I'm a big fan of the transportation on site. That's a big selling point for me, and I thought they were really good, especially considering it was the school vacation week and it was pretty crowded down there that week. But there were not any exceptionally long lines at bus stops, and there were no waits for me. I don't know about you. I know we separated a few times. Did you have any long waits at the bus stop?
Oh, none at all. And then one when we were going for rope drop, I think it might have been to the Magic Kingdom, they had one of those dual buses.
Yeah, the accordion buses, it looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the accordion. And
they could
everybody
pack you
went
in.
On, and I mean, there had to have been 100, 200, you know, people in line, and they got pretty much everybody who was waiting online, and you know, the next bus they said would be there in 15 minutes, so.
Yeah, they definitely.
Yeah, I thought the bus from Pop. Fantastic, and I've heard that, I don't know if you stayed at the All Stars, but I heard a lot of people complain about the All Stars because they all share buses there.
Yeah,
and they said it can be 20 half hour in between buses.
Right, that is one of the big problems with the All Star Resorts is the three of them share busing, and it actually a lot of people were concerned when they were opening Art of Animation that they were going to start sharing buses between Pop and Art of Animation because they're so close to each other, but. Thus far, they still have separate buses, which is, I think, one of the biggest selling points for Pop is the buses, the dedicated buses. It's a big convenience, and it definitely cuts down on time. It's nice when you don't have to devote an hour of travel time per day to get to and from the parks.
I would have to second that.
Moving on from just so far, we've talked about planes, trains, and automobiles. Now we could talk about the fun stuff, the parks. So what were your thoughts on the changes in the Magic Kingdom with New Fantasyland? I know it was both of our first times seeing New Fantasyland. I want to hear what you thought about it.
It didn't do much for me. I mean, the Dumbo ride was pretty much the same as it was before.
Well, they added a second one.
I think the highlight was was lunch that one day. That was fantastic, and I'm shocked that that's on a dining plan as a quick service.
The Be Our Guest. Yeah, we were able to snag a Fast Pass reservation for lunch there, which was nice. And we're going to have a dedicated episode just about Be Our Guest lunch, and that'll be coming up in the next couple of weeks. And we'll go more into detail. But, yeah, that meal was really great. And having the Fast Pass really helped out a lot because there was a long line of people waiting to get in, and we were just able to waltz on by and go right to order at the computer screens.
How does that fast pass work? That counts as a ride then, because you're allowed like 3 fast passes a day, right?
No, that one doesn't count against the allotment. Apparently,
it doesn't. Okay,
I didn't realize this at the time, but I found out afterwards. Is they're supposed to be by invitation only, and it's a test system, and.
Okay.
I had seen on a Disney website where you could go to make one, so I just went to that site and put in the information that it asked for, and I was able to make the FastPass reservation. But normally, like, they randomly pick people and say, if you'd like to make a FastPass for Be Our Guest, go to this site. So it's not like a public site per se. And I don't know, it could be changing at any time because this FastPass stuff is still in beta testing and it's not subject to any finality. But we were able to make the reservation. It worked out well for us, and it was a really good meal. It might have been the best quick service meal we had the whole week, and we'll get into that. We'll talk about what we had. And we're going to have a dedicated episode about the quick service dining. But really quick, what would you say was your favorite quick service meal that you had that week? Would it be Our Guest for you?
I'd have to say it was, yeah. Hands down, it was probably the best quick service meal.
Yeah, the food was very good. I don't know if it was the best food, if you're just based on the food that I had at quick service. But the atmosphere and being able to sit down inside, nice air conditioning, you know, not rushed. They bring the food to you. Real plates, real silverware was a nice added bonus to that still being quick service. It felt like a sit-down at quick service pricing, and it was really a nice experience. If I had to say what my favorite quick service meal, just based on the food and not the overall experience, I think the Tangerine Cafe in Morocco in Epcot, which I had for dinner, was great. I had the combo plate, the chicken and lamb combo plate, and it was fantastic. The lamb was good. It had a nice tzatziki yogurt sauce on top. It was the classic kind of gyro meat lamb that you would get at a Mediterranean place, and then they had a shawarma chicken with it, which was nice and spicy. It was really good, a nice contrast between the two. You had hummus, tabbouleh.
Wow, you have a sophisticated palate.
I do. I'm one of the Northeast liberals that you talk about with a nice sophisticated yuppie
corridor.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's me.
A very sophisticated palate.
Yeah, it's good. that was my favorite. That was my favorite meal, I think. My favorite food at any quick service.
Bill, you probably would have said a cosmic steak sandwich or a cheeseburger would have been good, because you were pretty well into drinking around the world at that time. I think you were having dinner just prior to Illuminations, correct?
Yeah, that was late. I had a few beers already, but it was still my favorite food, and it was a lot of food too, which I enjoyed. But we could talk.
Yeah, because I think you and Kristen had the same thing, just a big pile of filth, right?
Yeah, your wife Kristen, she had the same thing, and she seemed to like it too. And she's a picky, well, not a picky eater, but she has a sophisticated palate also. She's not a slob like you.
She has, yes. Right. She likes having.
She has an Ivy League palate. Like that. Yeah, tea and crumpets.
Yeah. She didn't have a chance to go over to the Grand Floridian for that.
No, you had to skip that. That's because the monorail wasn't running between 11:30 and 7 p.m. every day, which actually didn't affect us, because we were staying at Pop Century and we were in the parks most of the day. But if you were staying in one of those monorail resorts and you pay the price that they charge, and you couldn't get to and from the resort easily in the middle of the day, that would be a pretty big drawback. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, Mike.
Yeah, it was interesting that you say that, because I didn't give it much thought, but I was listening to one of the podcasts, maybe our friends over at Wedway Radio, and they were talking about how they should probably bump those prices down to the moderate price, because, you know, a lot of people are paying an arm and a leg. Not necessarily for the hotel room, but for the, you know, the accessibility to the monorail and a quick jump onto the monorail over to the Magic Kingdom or over to Epcot Center. So, yeah, that's a good point that you brought up. I didn't really give it much thought about pricing or
and it this actually, and that. And actually, my wife and I were heading out of Magic Kingdom on, I believe it was Thursday, and we had been there since rope drop at 8. It was an early morning magic hour, so we got there early and we were kind of beat. It was near the end of the trip and we were worn out. We wanted to go grab quick service dinner. We wanted to head over to the Polynesian, and so we walk out of the park and I forgot the monorail was closed until 7. This was like 5:30, and we wanted to go over, relax, walk around the resort a little bit, and just kind of get out of the hustle and bustle of the park at one of the peak times, and monorail was closed. So we said, all right, we'll check out the boat launch. And the boat had just left, and there was maybe 300 people waiting to get on a boat. And they said it was maybe a 45-minute wait to get on. Like, the next, they cut the line in half, and they said, after this person, it'll be about 45 minutes until you get on. So we just turned around and went back into Magic Kingdom, because it was too much of a hassle to get over to the Polynesian. Which is kind of ridiculous, because you can see it from there, and now there's no way to get over there easily because the monorail was down.
If you wanted to walk, it's probably only about a 15-20 minute walk, but after you've done, you know, 15 miles in the Magic Kingdom, the last thing you want to do is tack on another couple just to go have a quick service meal.
Right, and the whole point was to relax and not have to, you know, walk around, be able to be off our feet for a little while, but it was okay. It wasn't the end of the world to be stuck in the Magic Kingdom. There's worse places in the world to be. You know what I mean? But it was
like being stuck here all winter, Bill.
Yeah, exactly. In the Magic Minnesota. not fun.
We're thawing out, though. We're thawing out. It's melting. It's 42 degrees. Tomorrow's going to be 50.
Oh, that's nice. It's going to be...
We'll be playing golf probably by June.
There you go. Get the snow. The snow will be melted by June. We heard it here first on the Por Favor podcast. I think
Hazeltine's not going to open until early May. That's what they're saying.
Really? Because of the weather?
Yeah, because we've just had so much snow. We haven't had a ton of snow, but we haven't had any melting of thaws. And they said just looking, you know, just the way they're looking at it is they're not going to, even if we have a decent melt, they're not going to have it ready until late April, early May. So not only do the other winters long, but, you know, they shorten up your springs and summers depending on how severe the winters are. So
enough
with the bad news, Bill. We can go back to your point about the monorail.
Yeah, I just think that those luxury resorts, they charge so much. And those three, the Polynesian, Grand Floridian, and Contemporary, charge more than the other luxury resorts, like the Animal Kingdom Lodge, the Boardwalk, or even Wilderness Lodge. They're significantly cheaper per night than those three. And the main reason is because of the monorail. And I would think that if you pay $400 a night to stay, that all the amenities should be available for you, and that includes the monorail. But I guess at least you can get to and from the park. If you go early and leave late, you can get back and forth on the monorail, because it wasn't completely down. It was down just for 7 hours during the day, the peak.
You figure the boat launches is that, you know, because they're transporting double the amount of people. So now you have not only the people who take the boats to and from the resorts, but then the people who normally take the monorail who can't do so, who have to jump on the boat. So hence the 45-minute wait.
Right.
You and your wife.
Yeah, and it's popular also for people to have dinner reservations at those resorts, and they'll, even if they're not staying there, and just to get there from Magic Kingdom. If you're in Magic Kingdom and you have a reservation at Ohana or at California Grill or Narcosi, which we could talk about another time because you were able to go there during our trip, that, you know, it's just an extra added headache for you to get over there. Something that when you planned it 180 days out, you make these reservations and you have to do it 6 months in advance. You assume you'll be able to get over there easily in the way that you've always been able to do it, or the way that they tell you is the best way to go. So, a minor headache, I suppose, for me. If we were staying there, might have been more of an issue. But
by the way, where were you headed? I'm not familiar with the quick service over at the Polynesian.
I hadn't been either, so we were just gonna check it out. It's called Captain Cook's. And
Is that on a main level with this, like near where the swimming pool walkout is?
I think so. I haven't been. We were just gonna check it out, walk around, and just see what they had, and really just kind of investigate. The only thing I know about it or have heard about it is that they have Dole Whip soft serve yourself there, which was the selling point for me because I love me a Dole Whip.
So is that one of those all-you-can-eat, or is it an honor system? Like, could you sit there and stuff 10, 15 Dole Whips down the chute?
I think you fill it up once, but you can do whatever, you do it yourself. But, again, I haven't been, so we'll have to look into that and report back about that.
Because I think the Poly's interesting, because they don't, for a luxury resort, they don't really have signature dining. I mean, they have Kona Cafe or Kona Grill and Ohana. I know that you've eaten there, and that is a kind of like a Brazilian steakhouse
where they bring out the style,
carve on your plate and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's that style of restaurant. It's not Brazilian food. It's Polynesian food. Like, you know, you get chicken wings and dumplings. It's more like Chinese food, like Chinese takeout type food, but.
But then
you get the skewers of meat, and they bring them out, and they'll serve you as much as you care to eat. There's chicken, beef, pork, shrimp, and then they have lots of good stuff. I really like that, and it's still one credit on the dining plan, which means it's not a signature restaurant, but I wouldn't be surprised if that changes soon because of the popularity of it. they might.
Oh, it's almost cult. I mean, everybody just rants and raves about that place, and I haven't had the opportunity to check it out.
Yeah, it's really good. It was one of my favorite places I was able to go to when I went and had my dining honeymoon at Disney World a few years ago, and we had the.
I think that'd be a good show.
Yeah, we'll definitely talk about that, the deluxe dining plan and the good and bad of it, because it's good. You get a ton of food, but it's bad because you get a ton of food and you feel like you have to eat it because you've already paid for it. And you get an appetizer, entree, and dessert at every meal, basically 3 meals per day, and snacks on top of it. So it's really just so much food. And it was fun because I was able to go to a lot of the signature restaurants around property, but it felt like we were just kind of, you know how sometimes you feel like you're just waiting in between fast passes to go on the ride, like you say you have something in an hour. We were waiting in between dining reservations. So what can we do for 2.5 hours before we have to head over to go to California Grill, which is a good problem to have, but it was more about dining than being in the parks. So you have to know what you're getting into if you go with that deluxe dining plan.
So you pretty much rolled out the cufflinks and your sophisticated palate and trolled around the world for a week, huh?
Oh yeah, I had my fancy Bermuda shorts on that week. I don't think I've ever eaten that much filet mignon in my life as I did that week on my honeymoon, because I love myself a good steak and there were some really nice steaks to be had, and I didn't shy away from ordering it because it was already paid for. You get anything on the menu in the dining plan, no matter what the price is. So most expensive option a lot of times is the filet, and I really like that. So, and usually I won't order it because I'm a little cheap, like to save money where I can, and I like other things as well, but I use that as my opportunity to really, you know, go top of the line, if you will. I just was wondering if you had any other final thoughts about the overall trip down during February vacation week, President's Week, down to Disney World. We talked a little bit about New Fantasyland and some of the issues
what
we had with transportation. I had a good time. It was very crowded. The last few times I've been were on off times, and they weren't...
No, I'm talking about Fantasyland.
Oh, Fantasyland. Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was great. It adds a lot of real estate to Fantasyland, which was nice because that part is always very crowded in the Magic Kingdom with Peter Pan's Flight and Small World and the Princess Meets, and it got very cramped in there, and they opened up a lot of room for people to move around with the new area of, you know, the Beauty and the Beast with the Gaston's Tavern and Belle's Maurice's Cottage and Beast Castle and a lot of thing, and there are attractions also, and you know, shops and dining spots, but also just the room to move around I thought was a huge selling point for it for me, and the detail that went into it was just incredible. And a lot of people have talked about even just the restrooms. They added a restroom themed to Tangled. That's the only area that's themed to that movie, and it's for a restroom. They built a 30 or 40 foot tower for a restroom, which who else does something like that besides Disney World? You know, you're not going to see that anywhere else, investing that much money in a bathroom. So it's I thought it was really nice, and it adds a lot to that park. And I can't wait to see the Seven Dwarfs Mine Coaster opening up soon, and I want to see some ride videos of that and what people have, and it'll give me something to look forward to in my next trip down, getting to ride on that finally.
That looks like it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's park coaster, park dark ride, so it should be interesting. And Disney does dark rides better than anyone else in the world, and their roller coasters are family friendly, so anyone can go on it, so I think it's going to be a big hit. I'm sure the waits on that are going to be astronomical at first, and those FastPass Plus will be hard to come by for that ride when it opens up, but I think it'll be worth it. So I think that sounds like we've touched on everything we needed to for this quick trip review from President's Week when we were down at Disney World, and we'll be back next week for another episode of the Por Favor podcast, where we'll get more in depth. We have a few things to talk about. We're going to talk more about Be Our Guest restaurant. We'll have a full episode about that. We're going to be talking about the Swan, where Mike stayed for one night. So the Dolphin, where you stayed for an extra night while you were down in Florida. And we're going to talk about interactions with cast members. We had some good and some bad interactions with the cast members, so we're going to go into that in specifics, and we'll talk about that and our thoughts on overall experience with the cast members and a lot more. Our quick serve dining review, we'll go over all the places we ate at and give some quick thoughts and if we recommend them or not. So there's definitely a lot coming up in the hopper, and not to mention, we found out on this trip that your intrepid co-host Mike has not seen very many Disney animated classics. He's more of a Disney World person, but not necessarily a Disney movie person, but we've given him homework, and his assignment for this month is to watch Peter Pan, and we're going to report on a new set of eyes on Peter Pan, so you have that to look forward to. Also, we're going to give him a new movie each month to watch, and we'll get to see what he thinks about it from a fresh set, from a fresh perspective. So that'll be fun also.
Can I get the cliff notes?
No, you have to watch the whole thing.
I do.
Yeah.
I did watch Mary Poppins a couple weeks ago.
And you said you liked that, so there you go.
Yeah. So you might be opening my eyes to the world of Disney movies.
Yeah, it'll help you enjoy the parks even more, because there's so many the nods and homages to the movies and the rides and the... and just in the parks themselves, so it makes it more fun when you go if you have those points of reference anyway. So I guess we'll say goodbye for now and tune in next week to the Por Favor podcast. For Mike, I'm Gary. Thanks for listening. Have a good day.